This is station PCJ. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue our program.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, or to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with my dinner, and a nice cup of tea with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea. They say it's not nutritious, but darn it, it's delicious. And that's all that matters to me. It turns your meat to leather. Well, let's all die together. The one drink in paradise is tea.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with my dinner, and a nice cup of tea with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the International Happy Station Show, the first show for the month of May. It's very nice to have you with me. That's Keith Parent over the next 55 minutes. And yes, we began with a nice cup of tea. And in fact, right at this very moment, I do have tea with me in the studio. It is, in fact, yes, I know that's a very strange noise for tea. I'll do it again. It's actually iced tea. Yes, very, absolutely delicious. And the reason I'm drinking iced tea is because we're now officially into our summer here in Taiwan, and I don't think I can drink anything hot because it would make me physically ill. Anyway, it's very nice to have you with us on the program today. We have another special show because this is, a show that we call an emergency program. Yes, a show for when I'm actually away, that we actually recorded some time ago. Or as Tom Meyer would put it, a show that's recorded in case you get hit by a cow. Yes. But anyway, on today's show, we're going to bring you something that we actually brought to you over a year ago. I think in our first series, we ran a story that was recorded for Radio Canada International in the 1970s. That aired on the international service. And RCI had a series of Canadian short stories that they recorded with some fantastic orchestras. And they were all narrated by Rod Conenbear. And we brought one. How long ago was it? Let me think. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was over 2 years ago. Definitely over 2 years ago. Called Tiki Tiki Tembo, a story by Harry Friedman. And I've been promising for a long time now to bring another one of those stories. So we're going to do that today. This is another one of my favorites, but I'll tell you a little bit more about it after we take a little listen to our first piece of music. And today's music, by the way, is all from Brazil. Yes, Brazil. Why is all our music from Brazil? Well, we're now coming into summer. You're all going into summer. And Brazil is just one hot place. I've been to Brazil, to Rio and São Paulo a number of years ago and absolutely loved it. And I hope that one day I can return for a visit and, had a wonderful time there. So today's music is all from Brazil. And we're going to dedicate it, of course, to all our Brazilian friends. So we're going to kick off with Sergio Mendes and Tempo Feliz here on the International Happy Station.
Thank you.
Sergio Mendes and Tempo Feliz here on the International Happy Station Show. You know, not too long ago, I received an email, which was probably the shortest email that we've ever received at PCJ, from a listener by the name of Kevin Pfeifner, I think, or Pfeifner, actually, but it's spelled Pfeifner. All I know is that he's in Berlin. Guten Tag, meine Freunde Kevin. And all he said was, the subject says it all. Many thanks. And that's because in the subject he actually wrote more archive recordings. Of course, he's referring to PCJ's radio archives, which you can find at www.pcjmedia.com. And yes, of course, we're going to be adding some more there. There's actually a recent one that we added. So do check it out. Go to www.pcjmedia.com. Last weekend, on a Saturday afternoon at 4:30, we actually had probably the second biggest earthquake that we've had so far this year. It was a 5.7, and we really felt it, only because the earthquake itself, actually the epicenter, was in the area where PCJ is located. And luckily, we weren't doing any recording at the time, because usually what happens on occasions when we have been recording and there has been an earthquake, we've actually had to stop because either the power will cut out for a few seconds, or the CD skips, or the turntable skip, or something. But we were actually outside, and we were enjoying the beautiful weather, and we felt it, and it was quite some time. It was actually quite some time. It was almost like 6 or 7 seconds, and not a violent shake, but a more slow motion kind of shake. And the reason I mention that is because quite recently, in one of the Taiwan newspapers, there's a guy here in Taiwan, he's a bit of a doomsdayer, and he was saying that, you know, there's a major earthquake that is going to destroy all of Taiwan in a few days' time, and the best place to take shelter is to buy yourself a shipping container, go live inside that, and then you'll survive. And I'm like, okay. But oddly enough, on the weekend, when I drove to the area where they were setting up all these containers, sure enough, those containers were there. I mean, actual shipping containers that people are buying. They're buying a plot of land, and they're living inside them, because some doomsday guru said that the whole, all of Taiwan is coming to an end. And there's also, what else is there? What's the other Judgment Day? There's a Judgment Day thing happening, I think, on the 21st with some radio station or something. But just very, very unusual stuff. Anyway, the reason why I mention that, because it is just strange, and we had quite a few earthquakes recently, but nothing too bad to worry about. Okay. You're listening to the International Happy Station. If you wish to get in touch with us, stay tuned, because I'll be giving out all that information in a little while. But first, let's have a little bit more music now from Brazil. Here's Jorge Benjor with Mais Que Nada on the International Happy Station.
Samba, que é misto de maracatu. É samba de preto velho, samba de preto. Mais que nada, o samba como esse tão legal, você não vai querer que eu chegue no final. Thank you.
definitely a classic Brazilian rhythm, Mais Que Nada, that was performed also by Sergio Mendes, but it was performed there by Jorge Benjor. You're listening to the International Happy Station, and you know, my love for Brazil actually goes back to the time when I was living in Cuba. I know that sounds like a very odd connection, but it actually is true. In 1993, when I moved to Cuba, there was a very popular Brazilian telenovela. And for people who don't speak Spanish or Portuguese, that is a TV drama, like a soap opera, that was from Brazil, that was running on Cuban television. And it was called Las Mujeres de Harina, in Spanish, or in English, The Women of Sands, or The Sands of Women, or something like that. And it was on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Cubavision 1. What was quite unusual is at 9 o'clock in the evening, you can walk around Havana, and all you heard coming out of people's windows, because everybody's windows open because it was hot, was this soap opera. And a funny little anecdote about that is when I was there, about 2 hours before, I'd received a message that somebody, a friend of mine from overseas, had called me, and but I wasn't around, so they took a message, and I said, well, I'll call him tonight, you know. So that's what I did. So to make an international call from Cuba, you needed to go through the operator. So I called the operator. The operator picked up, and she said, un momento, por favor. And then she kept me waiting. And then she kept me waiting. And then she kept me waiting. The reason is because I can hear all the sound that was going on in the background in the telephone center is the staff, the telephone operators at the international section of the Cuban telephone company were actually watching this telenovela. And there was a big dramatic scene going on because I had my TV on at the same time and she just kept saying, uno momento, por favor, because she wanted to see it. She said, excuse me, one moment. So she was watching it. And then when the big dramatic scene was over, she came back and said, okay, can I help you? That was very unusual. That's the first time making an international phone call that anything like that has happened. Yes. Okay. If you wish to get in touch with us, of course, our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. That's pcjmedia@gmail.com. And you can also check us out on Facebook. Just do a search for PCJ Media at Facebook. Come in and join the group. And don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. Add me as one of your friends. Just do a search for Keith, K-E-I-T-H. And the family name is Perron. I like saying it that way. Perron. And that's all you need to do. Okay. All right. Time now for more music. And then when we come back, another fantastic radio story. But this is a singer, by the way, who is more than fantastic, more than fabulous. She is Fabuloso. No, that's not her name. Her name is actually Biber Gilberto. And you're probably saying to yourself, that name rings a bell. Well, it should actually. She's the daughter of Joao Gilberto. She, of course, comes from the royal family of Brazilian music, the Gilbertos. Also, her auntie, Astro Gilberto. Here she is with a song from her debut album from many, many, well, not too many years ago, maybe 12 years ago? 10, 12 years ago, I think. I don't remember now. Called Tanto Tiempo. Here's Beber Gilberto on the International Happy Station.
Sem ter. tanto tempo a perguntar por que esperar tanto assim de alguém.
Yes, Bebel Gilberto and Tanto Tiempo from her debut CD around 10, 11, or 12 years ago. We don't remember exactly the date of it because this is from a collection called Brazil, Classic Songs and Future Songs. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. And we're going to have more of the CD, of course, before the end of today's program. You're listening to the International Happy Station, and now we're going to bring you another story that we actually brought you one story a while ago, radio stories that were recorded for Radio Canada International in the 1970s. And it's a funny story, actually, how I got hold of all these recordings. About 3 years ago, I was wandering around Taipei and came across this music shop that also has vinyl. And I was going through and I saw, huh? Radio Canada International, you're kidding. Yeah, they had all these vinyl recordings from Radio Canada International from the 1970s, mint condition, meaning they were still factory sealed, and they were part of Radio Canada International's transcription service that would record these, use them on air, and then send them to radio stations around the world. And there was a whole bunch of them, and I went, oh, this is interesting. So I bought each of them, and I paid $5 each for a whole bunch of them. And the first story that we brought to you was called Tiki Tiki Tembo, which is a fun little story. Now, this story that we're going to take a listen to today is a very, very Canadian story. It's a very, very Canadian story. It's called How the Loon Got Its Necklace. I'll say it again. How the Loon Got Its Necklace. It was written by Keith Bissell. And it is, Keith Bissell, by the way, is from the west coast of Canada, from the province of British Columbia. Fantastic, fantastic story. It is narrated by Rod Conenbear. Now, Rod Conenbear was a well-known voice on CBC Radio and CBC Television in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. He did a lot of, he did news reading and many things, hosting of programs. He was also the voice of Rusty and Jerome the Giraffe on the CBC television series The Friendly Giant. Wow. Now, there's a lot of Canadians I know listening right now who probably haven't heard that, The Friendly Giant, in a long time. Anyway, he was one of the voices that on the show. This story is called, like I said, How the Loon Got Its Necklace. It also features the Czech String Orchestra. Here's this wonderful story produced by Radio Canada International here on the International Happy Station. Thank you.
Indian village of Shulus, on the banks of the Nicola River, there lived long ago an old blind medicine man named Kilora. Because of his blindness, he was miserably poor, hardly able to support himself and his wife. Though he called himself a medicine man, he really did little but dream. In the summer, he would sit all day long in the shade of the trees, and in winter he would sun himself with his back propped against the house, wrapped in a tattered blanket of groundhog skins to keep out the cold. Now and then his wife would scold him for his idleness. A medicine man? You a medicine man? Nobody ever comes to you unless every other healer he has heard of has failed. Didn't seem to mind at all. He just sat staring up at the sun as though he had not heard a word of what she had said. There was only one sound that was sure to rouse him, and that was the cry of the loon, the strangest and perhaps the most lovely of all woodland sounds. Whenever he heard it, a great restlessness seemed to seize him. His blind hands would fumble for his stick, and then he would start off, groping his way along the little trail beside the creek that flows out of Mamat Lake. Sometimes he was gone for days, and when he returned, tired out, half-starved, stained with mud where he had stumbled on the way, he would say nothing of where he had been.
I have been talking with my father, the loon,
he would explain patiently, and that was all. After a long, wet autumn, it happened that there was a very poor crop of the berries the Indians used to dry for their winter food. And then a very hard, cold season began. Every day the men came home to the village from their hunting with almost no game. The older men met together and wondered whether they should send some young men to nearby villages and even as far away as Kamloops in Lytton, to Tlemcen and even to Lillooet to try to buy food. One day, after the hunters had come home again empty-handed, old Kailura spoke to the chief.
Tell your young men and the hunters to be on their guard, he said. The wolves are hungry too, just as we are, for they have killed all the game in the valley. Soon they will come right into the village and try to steal the children. The chief, worried and anxious, turned away from the old blind man. Go back to your dreaming, he laughed. I have no time for the chatter of fools. Go back to your medicine making and listen for the call of the loon. The wolves grew bolder and bolder. Grown men were no longer safe alone, but had to hunt in pairs. Traps were set and deadfalls built. Many wolves were killed, but their numbers hardly seemed to grow less. The people were becoming very much afraid, and there was even talk of abandoning the whole village of Shulus and moving somewhere else, an almost unheard-of thing to do, especially in the dead of winter. Old Kaelora said this would not be wise, and this time the chief listened to him. Do you think we could move more quickly than the wolves could follow us? He asked, and he was quite plainly right. True, the people admitted, but what are we to do? We are starving, and our children are starving with us. Old Kaelora knew now that the time for which he had waited so long had come at last. If the village could be saved at all, it would be by Kaelora's use of his own powers of magic. Carefully, he felt his way down to the frozen river's edge, where the village sweat houses stood on the sandy bank. Four times he steamed himself in the sweat house, and four times he plunged into the ice-cold river. Then he made his way home, put on his sacred collar of dentellium shells, and sang aloud his mystical song. Strung his magical bow and picked out four arrows with their sharp stone tips. Hardly had he finished getting ready when he heard a shout. Once more, the wolves were coming right into the village, hoping to steal some uncared-for child. In strong, clear tones, old Kaelora told his wife to lead him quickly toward the wolves. She was so surprised that she obeyed without thinking. As soon as they appeared in the village street, there were shouts of laughter. Are you going to throw him to the wolves? They asked. Take him back home. What does he know about shooting wolves?
Pay no attention to them,
Kaelora ordered her.
But point my arrow toward the biggest wolf. Carefully now, as though you yourself were going to shoot.
All right. Up a little, she said. A little more to this side. So, now, let fly your arrow. Swift and true went the arrow, straight to the flank of a huge wolf, hiding in a little patch of brush. Look, look, cried the people who had been watching. What a shot! No ordinary man could shoot like that, even if he could see properly. Kelora must be a magician, a great magician. We shall all be saved, thanks to Kelora, the magician. The old man said nothing, but turned back to his home. For the rest of the winter, whenever the wolves were seen, he would go out to the edge of the village. Always he made his wife get his aim straight, and always he killed the wolf he shot at. At last they drew off, looking for safer hunting grounds, and once more the village hunters were able to bring back game. During the next summer, old Kelora decided to go once more to visit his guardian spirit, the loon. He walked for miles in the distant hills till the day was nearly done. He paused in thought, and then he felt the warmth of the setting sun on his left cheek. So, he murmured to himself, then the little lake I once knew so well should lie right ahead of me, just a little way over the top of the sloping ground. Suddenly, as if to prove that he was right, he heard the long-drawn, quavering cry of the loon. Slowly and cautiously, he made his way forward, his feet tripped by roots, his face scratched by the underbrush. At last, as the sun sunk lower, the rank, lush smell of the lake grew strong, and he heard the plop of a frog as it jumped into the water. Soon he felt the damp earth sink slightly beneath his moccasins, and, bending down, he touched with his fingertips the cool, still water. Kelora drew himself to his full height as he stood facing the lake, his own lake, as he always called it. He lifted his hand to his throat to make sure he still had his sacred collar of dentalium shells, and he sang once more the sacred song he had learned near this very spot so long ago. Then he called aloud.
Oh, my father, the loon,
he cried.
Come to me now. Help me, my father.
close by his feet, a voice answered him. What is it that my son desires?
I am blind, my father, and I wish to see.
Climb then upon my back, said the loon. Awkwardly, Kelora seated himself on the bird's back. Now, clasp me tightly and hold your breath, cried the loon, and he dived deep into the waters of the lake and swam swiftly and strongly to the other side. Can you see now, my son? He asked.
I see, but not as a man should see, for there is still a thick fog over my eyes.
Hold tight once more, cried the loon, and again they plunged deep into the water. 4 times in all they swam below the surface from side to side of the lake.
Now I see, I see, and it is as if I had never known blindness, cried Kelora.
He turned to give thanks to the one who had made him see again. But there was nobody there at all, just a loon swimming quietly on the still water. None but the dearest of all his treasures would be enough. Old Kelora took off the collar of little white shells and with a wide sweep of his arm tossed it gently towards the loon. Spinning slowly as it sailed through the air, the collar wrapped itself round the bird's throat, making the shining white necklace we see there today. A handful of shells, which broke away from the string, fell scattered on the loon's back. These two you may see on any loon.
How the Loon Got Its Necklace, read by Rod Conenbear, written by Keith Bissell and accompanied by the Czech String Quartet, recorded by Radio Canada International in the 1970s. We actually have a whole bunch of these recordings. This is the second one that we have used. If you, of course, would like to hear one of these stories again, let me know, and we'll do our best to get it to you. You're listening to the International Happy Station. Now time for more music from Brazil. Here's Trio Moncato with Volte Amor.
Voltei, amor, pra dizer que ainda te amo, pra dizer que ainda te quero, te quero. Parece estar tudo beleza. Seu rosto não traz mais aquela tristeza. Que bom, que bom, que bom, que bom. Mas se você quiser voltar, amor demais tenho pra dar. Pois minha vida sem você não é fácil de viver. Não, 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 não. Não é fácil de viver. Não, 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 não. Não é fácil de viver.
ainda te amo. Pra dizer que ainda te quero, te quero. Oh, pai, parece estar tudo beleza. Seu rosto não traz mais aquela tristeza. Que bom, que bom. Se quiser voltar, amor demais tenho pra dar. Pois minha vida sem você não é fácil de viver. Não, 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 não. Não é fácil de viver. Não, 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 não. Não é fácil de viver.
Trio Moncato with Volte Amor here on the International Happy Station. Once again, our email address is very simple, pcjmedia@gmail.com. That's pcjmedia@gmail.com. You can also check us out online, www.pcjmedia.com. You can listen to this program, as well as programs like Media Network Plus, Classic Media Network, The Kelly Alexander Show, Nash Holos, The Stuff File Program, and many others. And while you're at pcjmedia.com, you'll see on the right bottom corner, Twitter. So you can join our Twitter and find out everything else that's going on here. Just click on PCJ Twitter and you know the rest. Okay, now we still have time for one more song, and I thought that we would take a listen to a song that really says Brazil. Meaning, if you name this song, people will go, ah, Brazil. You know, it's connected with Brazil, like, let's say, milk and tea, honey and bread. Computers and hard drives. Yes, this song and Brazil go hand in hand. It's the fantastic The Girl from Ipanema, performed by Antonio Carlos Jobim, here on the International Happy Station.
Outras notas vão entrar, mas a base é uma só. esta outra é consequência do que acabo de dizer. Como eu sou a consequência inevitável de você. Quanta gente existe por aí que fala, fala e não diz nada, ou quase nada. Já me utilizei de toda a escala, no final não deu em nada, ou quase nada. E voltei pra minha nota, como eu volto pra você. Vou cantar em uma nota, como eu gosto de você. Quem quer todas as notas, ré, mi, fá, sol, lá, si, dó, acaba sem nenhuma, fique numa nota só.
The Girl from Ipanema, Antonio Carlos Jobim. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the International Happy Station Show. Just want to tell you about some fantastic shows that we have coming up very, very soon. Now, I'm going to mention a couple of names, okay? First one. Derek Partridge. Who is Derek Partridge? Ah, well, believe it or not, he was actually supposed to. He had auditioned. He was in line to play James Bond. Yes, after George Lazenby. Ah, any ideas? Well, stay tuned and you'll find out who it is. We also have a returning guest by the name of Darlene Arden. She is a dog psychiatrist, an animal therapist. Of course, I'm kidding. She actually studies animal behavior. She was on the show not too long ago. And some of you actually suggested we have her come back on the show to talk about something that I have a lot of experience with, and that's moving a dog, but not from house to house, but from country to country. A number of you actually had questions about that. So we're going to have her back on the show very soon. Okay, once again, if you wish to get in touch with us via Facebook, just do a search for PCJ Media, or just do add me as one of your friends, Keith Perron, that's P-E-R-R-O-N, and also get in touch with us via email, pcjmedia@gmail.com, and if you wish to contact us via snail mail, well, it's also easy to do. You can find out all the details at the PCJ Facebook page, and also at PCJ itself. Because if I was to stay here and give out our postal address, well, we'd be here right to the end of the month. It's incredibly long, and I don't really want to give it out right now. But you'll find it at pcjmedia.com. All right. That's it. That's all we have time. And this creaking chair, Kevin, we have to get rid of it. Ugh. Anyway, I just spoiled my ending, didn't I? Okay, well, I'll do it again. That's it. That's all we have time for. So on behalf of our technician, Kevin Lee, our production assistant, Johan Backer, this is Keith Powell, all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, hoping that we'll see you all again very soon. So until next time, so long. Au revoir. Auf Wiedersehen. Adios, amigos. And sayonara.